Statement is hereby made that adequate notice of this meeting was given by posting written notice prominently on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, the district's website, and sent to the four district schools. The mailing and/or hand delivery of said notice to designated newspapers, the Asbury Park Press, Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB presence, and student representatives to the board, and filing with the clerk of Homebell Township Police Headquarters and Public Library. Meetings of the board are open to the public, and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There will be two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end of the meeting for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There are certain matters that may be brought before the board that cannot be immediately addressed in public. Such matters may be referred by the president to a board committee and or the superintendent for consideration and or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Here.
Mr. Sokol.
Here.
Mr. Ruddy. Mr. Ruddy is absent. Mrs. Brillamonte.
Here.
Mr. Wall. Okay, Mr. Wall's currently at the football awards, and he'll be in attendance immediately afterwards. Mr. Foster.
Here.
Mr. Hammer is absent.
Same absence.
Okay, and Mrs. Urbanski. Mrs. Zhang.
Yeah.
We have a quorum.
Thank you so much. Can you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So tonight is a really fun meeting because this is the day that we honor our educators of the year. So I'd like to call up our principals to hand out the awards to our honored guests here tonight.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Arthur Howard. I'm principal of Village Elementary School, and I'm going to be presenting the awards for Village. So let me put this one here. First, we have our Teacher of the Year, Ms. Suzanne Gibbons. Suzanne, could you please come up to the front? With so many great teachers and professionals in Homebell, to be given the distinction of Teacher of the Year is no small feat. Our Teacher of the Year in question has made a powerful impact on her students, their parents, and her fellow colleagues alike. On many occasions, I've witnessed firsthand Ms. Givens going above and beyond for her students. She is what you would call the ultimate professional and the teacher every parent wishes her kid had. But instead of me telling the story, let me read some of the words that were written by her colleagues. Always smiling, always calm, always practical. Here at Village, we can rely on Susie for her warm, thoughtful demeanor and her will to always get it right. Her multi-sensory knowledge and training shines through her lessons, always paying homage to the importance of literacy, creativity, nurturing a love of reading in her students, making sure they are given access to the right kinds of support and intervention, as well as time to develop their own connections to books and stories. So please join me in giving a warm round of applause to a great lady who has mastered what I like to call the three oaths of teaching. Teach with your heart, put kids first, and always keep a good sense of humor when you go about it. So congratulations to Susie Gibbons. Next, we have Karen Gutowski. Could she please come up to the front? Like I said earlier, we are fortunate to have so many great teachers and professionals in Homedale, especially at Village School. Ms. Kotowski, named Educational Services Professional of the Year, has been a dedicated Homedale paraprofessional for over 20 years in our preschool. And for all of our parents who remember what it was like raising kids when they were like age 3 and 4, you know firsthand that those 20 years, what those 20 years for Karen has been like. As a person who started his career in middle school and is now working with students in grades pre-K through 1, working that long with these babies is no easy task. I think sometimes we take for granted the skill set needed to do that job, the heart, the patience, the kindness, the empathy, the flexibility, and understanding needed to make these youngsters, some of who are even nonverbal, feel comfortable and at home. It's not a job for the weak of spirit, but the calling for a kind and loving person. That is what you have in Karen times 10. In fact, when reading through the comments submitted by her colleagues and friends, the words kind and loving were repeated over and over again. One colleague wrote, "Karen lives to inspire and loves to encourage our youngest students. On any given school day, Karen is there to offer support to her teachers and students. She is much more than just support staff. She's a vital member of our team." So congratulations, Karen, to a well-deserved honor for a truly deserving person. And now I'll turn it over to Ms. Freese.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Alicia Freese. I'm the principal of Indian Hill School, and I'm honored to be presenting our Educators of the Year to you tonight. Kevin McCarthy. Come on up, Mr. McCarthy. As a 26-year veteran teacher, Mr. McCarthy has touched many lives over the years. He is an amazingly dedicated teacher, husband, dad, and friend. He is constantly thinking of the kids and creating ways for the students to learn the curriculum. Mr. McCarthy is a meticulous planner, as everyone saw when he planned the sixth grade Manasquan Reservoir trip, keeping everyone informed and up to date with trip details, class coverage, receiving payment, and permission slip forms. In the classroom, Mr. McCarthy is firm, kind, and follows a routine that the students become very comfortable with. From having the kids take care of the class fish, to measuring the water, to keeping a calm learning environment so the students can grow and develop, he truly does treat all of his students like he treats his own children. The students have nothing but great things to say about Mr. McCarthy's class, and he is truly an asset to our school. Congratulations, Mr. McCarthy. Mrs. Desiree Fernandez is our Educational Services Professional of the Year. Mrs. Fernandez is truly one of the most positive people at Indian Hill. She goes above and beyond to ensure that her students are happy, healthy, and ready to learn. She brings energy and enthusiasm to everything she does. She is her students' biggest advocate and demonstrates the utmost professionalism and respect as she works collaboratively with case managers and administration to get her students more involved in completing jobs throughout Indian Hill. Mrs. Fernandez is flexible, patient, and never complains. When problems arise, she empathizes with the students' struggles and goes above and beyond to get the students back on track. During virtual learning, Mrs. Fernandez was always creative in the ways that she adapted the students' workload and was a tremendous resource for the family and the team at school. She is one of the most dedicated, compassionate, and hardworking monitors in the district, and we are very lucky to have her. And I will now turn it over to Mr. Bill Walker.
Thank you, Alicia. Good evening, everybody. Please join me in welcoming the William R. Satz School's Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Kristen McCafferty. If she could come on up, please. Kristen started her teaching career in 2003. This is her 19th year in education. She started at Chatham before coming to the Satz School in 2008. And over the course of her 19-year career as a technology education teacher, she's taught literally thousands of students, written numerous curricula, and been an advisor for not only Stage Crew, but also Project Plus and the Technology Student Association. Her colleagues have remarked that one of Kristen's many strengths is her ability to teach all students, including students with disabilities, English language learners, general education, and gifted and talented students. She's also taught a variety of elective classes, such as the Tech Ed class for both 7th and 8th grade at SATS, and she's created new electives at SATS for students, such as game design and technology, engineering, and design. Another colleague remarked that during this past school year, when many students were attending classes virtually, hands-on classes, such as tech design, faced many obstacles. Kristen overcame these challenges without a hitch. She assembled goodie bags with the supplies that the students would need to work on the projects at home. For her part, Kristen says that she can credit teaching at Homedale to the life she has today. She met her husband working here, and countless co-workers over the years have helped her through life's most difficult times. She remarks, it's truly an honor to be recognized as Teacher of the Year. Congratulations, Kristen.
Well deserved.
I know you'll join me in welcoming our Educational Services Professional of the Year for SAT School, our speech therapist, Mrs. Jean Thompson. Jean, come on up. Jean has been an educator for 25 years. She began her career in Boston at a private school for students with autism. From there, she took a job in New Jersey where she also worked with students on the autism spectrum. In both schools, she focused her efforts in meeting the students' speech and language needs. In 2008, like Kristen, Jean came to Homedale, where she continued to implement speech and language goals with all manner of students, ranging from those with learning disabilities and auditory processing disorders, as well as those with autism spectrum disorder and Down syndrome. Additionally, Jean served on several education committees and was co-advisor for Team Unify. She also helped to usher in the district's very successful Unified Sports Day. Her colleagues describe her as someone with a warm and caring affect and a smile on her face who has served as a mentor for this colleague who remarked this, helping to guide me through best practices for multi-sensory instruction. She's always willing to share activities that have proven to be beneficial for our shared students. Without a doubt, she is always there for me when I have a question or need help creating an activity or simply just to provide a helping hand. She makes it a priority to connect with each and every student who walks through her door in order to get to know them as individuals. She's aware of their full potential and motivates them to rise to it. I have witnessed the beautiful connections that she has forged with our students, and it is clear that they feel safe, welcomed, and motivated in her classroom. For her part, Jean has this to say about her role as an educator. I tell my children that I love what I do for work, where I get to do my work, and most importantly, who I get to work with. Even though I've been doing this for 25 years, I still am learning something new each and every day, and I'm excited about it all. Congratulations, Jean, well deserved. Well done. Let's turn the microphone over now to our high school principal, Mr. Matt Kokoda.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Matt Kokoda, and I'm honored to serve as the principal of Homedale High School. Congratulations to all tonight's recipients. It is my pleasure to introduce to you the Homedale High School Teacher of the Year, Mr. John Cole. Unfortunately, Mr. Cole is recovering from surgery, so he's not with us tonight. Mr. Cole's passion for and knowledge of science is only surpassed by his dedication to his students. Although diverse in their academic abilities, the students can often be heard discussing a challenging new lab that he has designed or one of the interesting field trips that his classes take. These field trips provide a hands-on opportunity for students to not only learn about new topics, but to be inspired by science. He's certainly not the type of teacher to focus on self-promotion. He quietly comes to Homedale High School each day and exemplifies everyday exceptionalism. Congratulations, Mr. Cole. And it's my pleasure to introduce the Homedale High School Educational Services Professional of the Year, Mrs. Debbie Tadaro. There's a long list of many things I could describe about what Ms. Tadaro brings to the table each day. But most importantly, she was tasked with quite possibly the most difficult task, was onboarding the new principal this summer. Reserve your comments for later, please. But I do mean that wholeheartedly, and the wonderful job she did was welcoming me into my new role and essentially helping us open this building. And so for that, I'm forever indebted. Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations to all of our teachers and professionals for doing so much for our children. We're so lucky to have you. Next is our children, our students. They were children, and now they're getting older. Matt, you want to introduce? You want to introduce them first, or Jerry?
Yourself.
Oh, okay. First, I would like to introduce Jerry Schaffenberger, our assemblyman, who's here to recognize our very special soccer team and their accomplishments this year. Assemblyman.
Thank you, Vicki, and thank you, everyone. And congratulations, ladies. This is really a big deal. I've been bragging about it all day to the other legislators. I guess who the state champs and from my district in Homedale here. Anyway, what I did, I have certificates for each one of you, and I have a proclamation that will codify this. And oh, there you are. Okay. Who are we going to give the proclamation to? Okay. Okay. What I like to do with these, I read a little bit of it because it's a bunch of whereases, but you'll get the picture. Whereas the Senate and General Assembly of the State of New Jersey are pleased to salute the Homedale High School girls soccer team, an admired ensemble of Garden State residents in recognition of their outstanding sporting accomplishments. And whereas exhibiting their extraordinary abilities, unwavering devotion and forbearance of the Homedale Public Schools District commitment to excellence. Therefore, be it resolved that this legislature hereby congratulates the players and coaches of Homedale High School girls soccer team, pays tribute to their meritorious record of achievement, and extends sincere best wishes for their committed success both on and off the field. Congratulations, lady. We look forward to great things from you. Okay. Ladies, when I call your name, please come up, okay? The certificate says they're all the same, but they're going to be personalized. The Senate General Assembly commendations and praise are extended to the 2021 Group 2 Girls State Soccer Champions by the citizenry of the 13th New Jersey Legislative District. Through our elected representatives, congratulations on a job well done. Adriana Morales. Congratulations, Adriana. Ellen Clark. Sophia Loudon. Juliana Kolbasovsky.
Did I get that okay? Did I get that right?
Okay. With a name like mine, I shouldn't be mispronouncing anybody's name. Abigail Hines. Chalanko. Isabella DeMatos. Congratulations, Isabella. Kayla Byron. Chloe.
She's not here.
Hello, Bill.
Congratulations, Kayla.
I practiced the name on your sister who wasn't here. Felicia Arena.
Congratulations, Felicia.
Isabel Arena. Alexander Rojan.
Congratulations.
Catherine Vasilakis.
Congratulations, All-American.
Haley Schaub. Yeah. Lily Reardon.
I'll leave you the last two.
Sibyl Knight or Need?
Good morning.
And Nicole Robo.
Congratulations, everybody. We're very, very, very proud of what you've done. Great accomplishment. Thank you. Well, before I step aside, I just want to say congratulations to the Board President, Victoria Flynn. It's her last meeting here. Any plans for January?
Okay. I'll see you around. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Good night. Congratulations, ladies.
Yeah, I know. I would think they would circle in when it's there. I mean, I think it's pretty open. I think we could have them talk, you know, like during the presentation break, because we've been there before the presentation. But if not, we could have them talk, you know, at that first, because it's on the agenda. So either way, I kind of think we might want to just keep it contained within the board to start and have them talk. Because it's not that much. Like, it doesn't matter.
I think it's just
good. After we speak, you know, we should just encourage people if they'd like to come up and say, I can do that. After you finish.
Okay, what's next? Brian?
What's next? Goodness.
I think this should be a roast.
Be a roast.
Absolutely.
Thank you, girls, for having a wonderful season. It was wonderful to watch you all from afar. I loved watching on NJ.com. You guys played a great game. You had a great season. And I'm looking forward to everything that you all are going to accomplish. And I know a lot of you are going to college. We will miss you desperately. But I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of you next year on the field. And I'm sure you're going to have another awesome season. So thank you. And thank you, Coach Nicarlo. And girls, thank you for all your awards. I mean, it's amazing. I've been trying to share them. Like every day there's a new award coming out about you and I go on Twitter and I share it, but it's been an amazing season. And I'm so very proud of you all. So I've watched a lot of you play since you were little girls and you're going to do great things. I know going forward. So thank you for a great season. At this part of the meeting, we are going to acknowledge one of our board members, Brian Foster, who has decided to leave us. Not Holmdel in general, but leave. Fingers crossed, right. So being a board member, especially under the last year and a half, has been extremely difficult. And having someone like Brian Foster as one of your fellow board members makes it a lot easier. He personifies teamwork. He is nothing but a calm, he has a wonderful calm demeanor. He always says, and I know sometimes I'll come out of executive session and say how much Brian said the right thing at the right time, that really does distill the issue for us and allow us to move on. And that's because of Brian's, he's extremely smart, dedicated public servant to our community. And I can say and vouch that he has served our community so well. Again, during the last year has been a challenging time and his demeanor, his leadership was tremendous. And I can never thank you for that. And even before the pandemic, Brian was like all of our board members, but Brian in particular, you know, he got on, he was nervous because he didn't know what was going on, but he was such a quick learner and a quick to know what we needed to do to keep this district moving forward. He always puts students' interests first. He wants to make sure that we have nothing but the best for our students. And it wouldn't be possible what we are able to accomplish on this board without a person like Brian. It is a tremendous loss to this board to not have Brian continuing. I did try to get him to stay on. He declined because, you know, he owns his own business and it's a lot of sacrifice to do what you've done over the last 3 years, and we're forever grateful. And your stamp on this district cannot be overlooked because of everything you've been able to do working with us as a board. You've always been an exceptional board member, and I am forever grateful for having that time to work with you and develop a friendship that I truly value. And I'm so glad that we got to know each other a lot better working together on the board. So I also would be remiss if I didn't thank Leslie and your family for sharing you over the last 3 years. Being a board member requires a tremendous amount of time and dedication. And you know, your family does share this time with all of us, and they do dedicate in a way there and give back to our community by sharing us board members with us. So Brian, thank you. Please thank Leslie, thank the kids. I hope you still stay involved in some other capacity as a board member. Maybe we'll run again, but in some other capacity, but please stay involved in the school. We're so grateful to have had this time with you. So thank you, Brian. So here you go. Does anyone want to say anything else about Brian? Elizabeth.
It's hard to follow that, Vicki, because you really summed up many exceptional things about Brian. But I just want to add, in the 2 years I've known him, he has been a source of calm reason, which is something when you're on a board, you're very thankful for. He uses common sense. He builds consensus among the board, and he looks to bring everyone together rather than be divisive, which I think is unbelievably important. He has no personal agenda except what is best for the children of Holmdel. And that has always been, I never sensed that he wanted to get something done for himself. It's always what's best for all. And he puts children first. And I'm going to tell you honestly, I've only had 2 years with Brian, but that common sense voice that comes out of the darkness will be sorely missed in executive. So thank you so much for your time. So I echo the same. Brian always brought like a common, he always brought a calming effect, I think, to the board. He had good questions, which always made all of us think, which was really good. I also like that when Brian had questions regarding other committees, he always was sure to ask us before the board meetings to make sure that he felt comfortable going into board meetings. So I think that that was something that I admired about him, that he was consistent with that. But he definitely would always ask these questions that, again, made us all think. And at times, he also offered some innovative thoughts about how to handle a situation that we were pondering. So I really appreciate all your time. Thank you again to your family for lending you to us. Hopefully, you know, you'll come back to a board meeting or two from time to time. But again, thank you for everything, Brian. We appreciate it.
I am fearful that I'm going to be saying more words than Brian says over a year's time and still fail to be as articulate as he has been during his tenure on the board. You know, I kind of jokingly think of him as the silent beetle. This is a guy who doesn't really have to say a lot to make his presence known. And that's an incredible skill that very few people have. I will greatly miss Brian's counsel, his presence, and the general sense that in everything he's ever done, he's always put one group of people first, and that's the children of this district. So I wish you the best of luck, and maybe you'll change your mind to join the board again some other time.
Thank you, Mike.
So I want to thank Brian for your dedication to the communities, to the school district. For this year, you know, I was in the board. Brian really think before he speaks. He always, you know, contribute his smart ideas and help the school make the right decisions, all based on, you know, what benefited to our students here, our children. I really feel, you know, thanks for to being up here with you. And thank you very much for your contributions to the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Board President.
Yes. So Brian, thanks for everything you've done. The other thing I would add to what everybody said is Brian always showed up for a lot of the events, like the Veterans Day events and stuff. I actually thought he was a Marine, but turns out he wasn't. So he just wanted to have a haircut like one. So, but I really appreciate all the hard work. And like everyone said, you know, you were very thoughtful and spoke. When you spoke, people listened because they were shocked that you spoke, but what you said was always really pertinent to the point and really dead on. So I appreciate all your hard work for the board. So thank you.
Okay.
I think I'm going to take this from you.
Yes. I'd like to skip it.
So we have another person leaving the board tonight. And her name is Vicki Flynn, and I'm going to try to not let any of this get emotional. You know, I've worked with Vicki for 6 years, and most recently, the last 2 years, serving as vice president. So as vice president, I've had a chance to really see confirmed what I'd always seen in the past, but even in more greater detail, the incredible degree of dedication that Vicki throws into every task of every level that is involved with this school district. There is rarely a day that this whirlwind of thought and leadership isn't touching upon something going on in this district. And the hole that she is leaving by moving to her next adventure is going to be very, very difficult to fill. So that's from her as the president of the board from a personal level. People have shown the amount of care and concern over the last 29 months as I've had to deal with my little health issue. And so many days she would call in just to see how I was doing. And that's very special because Vicky's a very special person. And I will always remember that more than anything. And we wish you the best.
Thank you, Michael. That's it, right? Can I leave?
Can I go? It's very hard to follow, Mike, but having Vicky as the leader, I'm going to be a little weepy because she's been such an exceptional leader of the board in the 2 years that I've been here. So determined to have school open, so determined to make sure as many children could be in school as possible, relentless in her pursuit of what is best for the children of the school. And honestly, always available. I sometimes call her three times a day, and she always sometimes says, I'm in a meeting, I'll call you back, but always is available, has been not only an amazing leader using her lawyerly skills that, in ways that have been so helpful to elucidate different problems, but also just an amazing person, and I consider a good friend. And it's going to be a little hard without you, so I'm going to have to learn to not call you three times a day, but your leadership was exceptional and greatly appreciated, and you will be very missed. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So sweet.
So, you know, I guess I got to thank you, be upset. I don't know, you know, you get me involved with everything here. I don't know why I was asked that over 3 years ago, whatever point it was, but it was you that I was put in contact with, and we sat down and had a bunch of discussions about what to expect, what was going to happen, all those kinds of things. And you really downplayed it, made it seem like there was going to be nothing, and it wasn't accurate at all. But I did know after speaking with you and our conversations and speaking to other people about you that you were going to put in the work, you were going to put in the time. It was all about the students. It was about running things correctly, moving things forward, most importantly, and properly. And you had my vote all 3 years as president. I'd vote for you again. I don't think anybody in this community or town understands the amount of work that you put into this, the blood, sweat, and tears. I can't even scratch the surface for what you do. And you are going to be sorely missed, as Liz said. And thank you for everything, and I appreciate it all.
Thank you, Brian.
First, I want to congratulate Vicky to his new role and to make a bigger impact on the county level. So we really appreciate your leadership and your contributions to the Homedale, to the school district, you know, over your leadership. And, you know, the school we opened on time and the kids back to on-site is really big achievements. Now also, you are a strong female leader, women leader. I think that's so motivated many, you know, women's girls, you know, do the community work and start up, being leaders, not being afraid. So I really appreciate. Thank you for your contributions.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Vicky. I don't know how many people realize how hard it is to be president of the board, because you have to deal with so many different constituencies, so many different people, and try to get the board to all work together. And you did a great job at that. You got the board to work as one, which is not an easy job because you have different factions of the board, you have different factions of the community. But over the past, you know, what, 6 years you've been president? How many years? Four. you've done a tremendous job and really led the community through some really difficult times, specifically around COVID, around there's been so many other issues, and it's been hard. I mean, you had to work with the superintendent and the staff and administration to make some tough decisions and tough choices. And they're not always been popular, but you had to make them, and you did it, and always with the kids and the safety and the staff and the education of our children in mind. So I really appreciate all the hard work. And, you know, you've had like 3 full-time jobs. You know, you got to be a mom, you got to be and I hope it comes in this order, you work at your office, and then you do the Board of Ed, and oftentimes, you know, one gets sacrificed for the other. And I think the amount of time and effort that you put into this board, into this community, has been really tremendous, and the results are shown for themselves. So thank you very much, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
You ready for this? All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit here, so give me some time. For most of us that started our school board journey here in Homedale, we learned very quickly that being a school board member requires extensive dedication. What was interesting about Vicki is she had come from another board, so she already knew getting into this role that she had a lot of work ahead of her. And as a brief aside, on my first day as a board member, I was actually appointed at that time. I entered a very contentious executive session. And as I sat there and listened, there was one voice of calmness and reason, and it was Vicki Flynn. And it's a fond memory for me of my introduction to the board. So thank you for that initial memory. We are thankful to Vicki for leading this board through both exciting and difficult times. Vicki had to oversee the board during a substantial referendum and a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. You devoted enormous amounts of time, energy, and care to working with the administration to arrive at the best possible outcomes. We are thankful for the time Vicki dedicates to the efforts of this school board. We realize the board work has often taken you away from your family, which during this past year has been especially challenging. We also recognize that the time we see you in board meetings is just a teeny tiny fraction of all the hours you have devoted to this district. We are especially grateful for your extraordinary legal expertise, especially in school law. The skills you cultivated in your professional life translated into your leadership on the board. You have listened thoughtfully, applied your keen intellect to issues facing the district, and have been unafraid to state your opinion. Your grounded decision-making with student well-being always at the forefront is a major contributing factor to what has helped continue Homedale's mission of excellence. We appreciated and admired how you always approached your role within the community with extraordinary grace, respect, and seriousness. We have benefited from your commitment to community engagement and your willingness to respond to virtually each and every community member who has reached out to the board. You have been always there listening to everyone, and you remained fair and level-headed. You have been able to navigate the differences of 8 other board members' opinions, pick up each member's perspectives, and ultimately arrive at the best possible outcome for our students and our school district. We have been fortunate to have such a dedicated woman leading our school board. We want to thank you for your leadership, your commitment to our students and our community, and your support of our mission to continually improve Homedale schools. Our district is without a doubt better because you have been on this team for 6 years. We want to extend a heartfelt thank you for giving so selfishly of your time and working so hard to make our schools the best place to learn and to teach. We are so sad to see you go, and the only solace we have is knowing that you will remain connected to our work moving forward as you lead District 13 as our next Assemblywoman. Please go to Trenton and show them how it's done.
I don't know if this is our speaker area that could be moved in, but I think there's some people in the audience who may want to say a few words for Brian and Vicki's behalf, and we certainly would like to allow that right now. Thank you, Anthony, for setting up the microphone. If anyone wishes to come up and say anything, feel free to do so.
It could be negative too. I'm okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jamie.
How are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you. Vicki.
Jamie.
First, I want to thank you for 6+ years of service to the Homedale community on the Board of Ed.
and for all the years you served Homedale on the PTSO. Local politics didn't work out as planned, but I think it worked out for you the best as it could have been. Assemblywoman Flynn, it has a nice ring to it. I am proud to say that I served as a board member during your tenure as president on the board of Ed. In fact, I only knew you as president. I am so thankful to you for taking on the leadership role when it was so badly needed. I learned a lot from you, and I think we got a great deal accomplished because of your knowledge as a lawyer and an experienced board member. Being a board member could be a lot of work. I actually remember wondering whether it was humanly possible for you to have a job outside the board, because being president took up so much of your time. It was like you had two full-time jobs and probably three. But you never complained. You took on the role with what it seemed like was just ease. Words I think of when I think of Vicki Flynn: true leader, steel trap mind, endless mental energy, intelligent, insightful, fearless, and fierce. Not only a survivor, but a true success story. The best thing about Vicki is that behind the tough exterior is a person of real character, the kind of person that does the right thing even when no one is watching. That is one of the things that struck me most about Vicki. She cares about what she does and who she serves. It's not easy to be in your role. The criticism, jealousy, sometimes mean-spirited remarks, people will tear you down in all sorts of ways, but Vicki doesn't let it get her down. I think you were born for leadership. I just want to let you know that you are a great role model of strength, determination, and guts for women and girls alike, and men as well. I really admire that about you. I am just proud to say that I worked with you. Now, you know how I feel about politics, but no matter where I am and no matter where you are, please know that I have been and always will be rooting for you in the background and will always have your back. Your success makes me feel genuinely happy and proud. I look forward to seeing where you go and what you will accomplish. Women, especially, let's be happy for Vicki and elevate her and follow in her footsteps. Vicki, I'm proud to be your friend and proud of your accomplishments. I am certain this is just the start of all good things for you. Best of your luck in new endeavor. And I just want to say, you're the best.
You're the best, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie. All right, we're ready. Oh, Chung Ying, yes. One of my vice presidents. First vice president.
Oh, thank you so much. Chung Ying, Yoshi, Center Oaks Drive, Homeville. I'd like to start with Brian. Brian, I will work with you just 1 year, but how impressive words and the work you have been done in that year. Thank you so much for your service. You are very busy, I know. Again, hope you'll come back to serve this board and serve for our district. Thank you. Now, Vicki, I left board 2 years. I missed the most difficult part of the district history, I guess. But I worked with you for years, and I 1 year with you, especially in the shoes of the vice president. Over the year, we agree, we disagree, we have a lot of argument, but we also appreciate a lot the achievements we can make. And the decision, we can do it and we can make it. And the goal, we know the goal, we want this district to be the best. Our children will be the best. So thank you for your guidance and our leadership. I'm so happy to see you going to start another chapter. And I wish you the best. And
also, thank you, Chung Ying.
Wish the new board and the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Chung Ying.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tom Critelli, and I first want to thank the entire board for the efforts that you've made during this pandemic. It did not go unnoticed by 99% of the population in town, although most of the people don't come to these meetings. And you did a tremendous job getting the schools open, and I truly appreciate that. Vicki and Brian, incredible efforts. You've heard it all from your colleagues. You've heard it from some other folks in the audience. I truly appreciate everything that you've done. And Brian, you're way too young to retire from public service. So across the street, up the road a bit, there's a few open spots next year. I'll have that conversation with you that you had with Vicki 4 years ago, and I promise I won't undersell it, okay? good job. Vicki, you and I got to know each other in 2018, your first year as board president, my first year as mayor. And immediately we knew we had to take care of the school security together. That was at the height of all the school shootings nationwide. I view that as my greatest accomplishment as a 9-year committee man and mayor. And I want to thank you for everything you did to take a lead on that with I don't know how many people have thanked you, but when I go around town and people say you were the mayor, I said, I give you the credit, Vicki Flynn, because you took
the lead. We did that together. We always worked so well together.
Tom. We did. And I'm glad that you're continuing your public service. You're going to be an outstanding assemblywoman. Just remember where it all started, right here at the Holmdel School Board. And I just want to wish you two the best of luck, Godspeed. And keep up the good work.
Thanks, Tom.
And thank you, Tom, for your service. I had to still do board business last night. Otherwise, I would have loved to have thanked you in person. But you're a tremendous leader. You're a tremendous partner. And I always appreciate how, like what you said. You know, the school security was a big issue that our town wanted to address. And it just took you and me sitting down and getting it done. We could do more of that in this town. And I know the town can do it with this board too. But I appreciate your partnerships throughout the years. You've been tremendous. So thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Anthony, for knowing my exact height for everyone. I had to jot some things down today because I know I would forget once I got up here. But Vicki and Brian, I do want to congratulate you on your retirement and thank you for your years of service on the Board of Education. Of all the elected volunteer jobs in our community, I believe this one is by far the most time consuming. And I think the majority do not comprehend how much time, but I do. I thank you all, but I thank you as you are leaving. Vicki, it has been a long road for us that bended a lot for both of us. And although we may not have always agreed on everything, the one thing we had in common is the best interest of the students and the families in this district. I know your intentions were always good. I am very proud of your service. From early on, through many safety protocols, scary times, funny times, and through the pandemic and the referendum, which were likely some of the hardest times any board will ever go through, you succeeded. I am proud that we have come out better on the other side, and I know for a fact there is no one happier than me to have you as our proud new assemblywoman. I wish you the best and have no doubt you will achieve all of your goals.
Thanks, Debbie. Thank you for your support.
Board President, may I speak for a
moment? Oh, yes, sure.
Very briefly, because I heard wonderful comments from Sarah as late as at the Football Awards event. Great comments from everybody. Very briefly, first of all, Brian, congratulations, and Vicki, congratulations on your years of service here. Onward and upward to great things. Brian, we didn't know each other well at first. You're a class act. It's been great to get to know you. It's nice to meet people that are real. Mean what they say what they mean. And so I appreciate that particularly. So you're a fantastic guy. It's great to get to know you better, really is. And I wish you all the best in your endeavors. And it is, I think it's like an eighth of a mile down to the right. Okay, yeah, it's good. So the commute's not too bad for the next set of meetings. And I think it's Tuesday, Thursday instead of Wednesday. So it works out great. Vicki, great job. As I mentioned to you when we first started talking, how much I appreciate the tremendous amount of hours that are invested in serving as board president, whether there are issues that are working perfectly well, or there's conversational friction and challenges with positions that people have, whomever they may be, as they, as the boards have their ebb and flow. But it takes a very dedicated person to invest the amount of time and energy and effort that the center chair demands. It's a far different chair. You know, we're all peers, and that's very true. But the way the structure is, as you know, and statutorily and otherwise, there's a far different set of responsibilities for that chair, that position, and the hours and energy that go into it are not known to folks. And that's why this is a great opportunity to share that with people. And as you know, I've said that to you over the years, regardless of the ebb and flow, the dynamics, it's all about, you know, we're in a room where I ate lunch as a kid. Jamie did too. Elizabeth did as well. You know, and a lot of other folks. We went to school here. It means a lot. And so it's legacy work for us, and as well as the folks who are leading it. So I wanted to thank you and wish you tremendous success in the New Jersey State Assembly. There are a number of different pieces of educational legislation that are woefully overdue. So all the best to you. I'm glad I was able to share a couple quick words, because I heard the fantastic words, piped in. So congratulations, best success to you. And thank you. And to Brian as well. Thank you so much for all the fantastic work that you've done.
Thank you, Terrence.
Thank you very much.
I know I'll hear from you on legislation, right? All of you. Okay, good. All right. We're going to go to that part of the meeting. Oh, we're going to, we could break for cake. Does anyone want some cake? All right. So at this moment, can I take a motion to reset?
Move.
All in favor? Aye. Okay. Yeah.
Have some cake.
Okay, we're back. At this point in the meeting, we take the report from our student representatives, who I hope had cake. Go ahead.
All right. Good evening. I hope everyone is doing well. I'd actually like to start by thanking Mr. Foster and Ms. Flynn for the work they've done for the board, and I wish them the best of luck in the future. And now on to the student report. On November 18th, Holmdel High School was placed in extended shelter in place. All students were safe, and counseling support was offered to anybody needing it. We would like to take this time to thank the administration, school, and staff for ensuring the safety of students. On December 8th, Holmdel High School had a NHS induction ceremony. Juniors and seniors were inducted into Holmdel High School's National Honor Society chapter. It was great to see newly inducted members and hearing of their great accomplishments. I'll now hand it over to Trinity to complete the student report.
The SAB-hosted Battle of the Classes in November was an amazing success. It was great to see so many students participating in the games and showing school spirit. We had the three-legged race, beanbag, toe tag, castle ball, and dodgeball, and congratulations to the senior class for their win. December is also filled with exciting events for Holmdel High School. Last Thursday was the winter choir concert, and the middle and high school choirs sang a variety of holiday songs. Additionally, the winter band concert is tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the HHS auditorium, where both the middle and high school ensembles will be performing. Please come out to support the Holmdel music programs. And that concludes the student report. Congratulations again to Mr. Foster and Ms. Flynn, and happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you so much. At this point, we don't have a superintendent report. We have committee reports. Eileen, you're going to do Brian's, right? I mean, not Brian's, Pete's.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can do it.
All right. You don't have to go yet. You don't have any, Joe, right? Elizabeth has some, just a few notes from Elizabeth.
Just, I can take up some time, Eileen, while you're finding those reports. I just want to
note that this is the end of the year for our committees, and it's been an unbelievable honor to be head of curriculum and instruction. And I hope people have noticed that I really try to take very thorough notes for everyone, because I consider them not only information to the board, but just kind of almost like an open letter to the community. I try to view these as if I had issues and I wanted to learn about what is going on in the district, I could find these as a source. So the Curriculum Instruction Special Services Committee met in person on Tuesday, December 7th at 9:15. The following agenda items were discussed. Number one, recommendations for approval. The committee discussed items recommended by the interim superintendent for approval, including but not limited to approval of out-of-district travel for district personnel, field trips, student-teacher clinical practice observations field experience, SATS Robotics Club advisor, emergency closing procedures, appointment of before and after school student support for the 2021-2022 school year, submission of the CRRSA-SR2 grant fund for 2021-2022, amendment and submission of SR3 grant fund, the Road Forward Emergency and Virtual Remote Instruction Program, student internships, graphics arts credit, visual performing arts credit, learning centers during unit lunch at the high school. Special services, number two. Carolyn Morano presented special services recommendation for approval, including but not limited to home, hospital instruction, student placement, revised student-based instruction and structured learning experiences for the 2021-2022 school year. Number three, special services discussion. Carolyn Morano updated the committee on the CPAC meeting, which took place on December 1st. The meeting was well attended with approximately 45 parents, and Ms. Lamolia, the incoming director of special services, was present. Date was set for the next meeting, which will be on January 12th. According to code, CPAC is supposed to have 3 meetings a year. Ms. Morano addressed the ongoing concerns regarding the floating ICR teachers in the science and social study classes at Village School. Due to the change in schedules, approximately 45 students with IEPs have an ICR teacher in science and social studies every other day, as opposed to every day. While the IEP requires an ICR teacher every other day, this is different from what was understood by the parents with children with IEPs. Due to an oversight in communicating that, the district will continue with an ICR teacher every day for the remainder of this year. The school is addressing this issue with additional staffing starting in the new year. Number four, Robotics Club. The Robotics Club had their first regional competition over Thanksgiving weekend. Ms. Flynn asked why the school hasn't invited professional engineers to come and speak about their careers, as this is a common practice in many neighboring school districts. Dr. Charney will follow up with a request to implement a visiting engineer lecture program for our engineering students. Number five, before and after school support, high school learning centers. Four teachers will be providing before and after school support for Indian Hill. Three math teachers will be made available to provide daily support during the high school unit lunch. Going forward, learning centers will be made available in every period in the high school, so students can sit on-site on-site tutoring during study hall. The district is posting jobs to fill the learning centers at the high school at the high school, as other than the three, no high school teachers have volunteered to fill these study hall positions. These supports will be funded by the SR3 grant. A discussion was held about how we can get students to attend these extra support sessions. Suggestions were made that teachers who have struggling students should be reaching out to both the student and parents to encourage them to attend the learning centers. Suggestions were also made that guidance counselors should be proactively reaching out to students and parents as well. District website messaging should also be initiated. Number six, instructional rounds. Dr. Charney recommended the use of instructional rounds as a way to change school culture and pedagogy. The practice involves having a cadre of teachers visiting classrooms with the task of improving teaching.
This cognitive apprenticeship is a positive action which creates shared practices and camaraderie amongst teachers. Number seven, algebra two, honors algebra two, advanced algebra two, and other courses solutions. Students who transferred from honors algebra to advanced algebra will have 10 points added to their marking period grade if they transferred more than halfway through the marking period, which was October 10th. So I'm sorry, October 15th. Students who transferred to advanced algebra have the opportunity to take makeup tests for the units questioned. Less than 30% of students have taken the opportunity to take the makeup tests. There are two teachers working with the students in the Algebra 2 classes. Dr. Charney is revising the program of studies and the student handbook so that it clearly states how students' grades are adjusted if they transfer out of an honors course mid-semester. Previously, there has been no consistent or written policy. Guidance update number eight. Dr. Charney presented the newly revised eight objectives for the guidance department for the 2021-2022 school year. These objectives include communication plans to develop a 12-month calendar for all stakeholders, 1, 2, college application process, 3, benchmark counselor workload in relationship to other high-performing peer districts, 4, increase achievement by monitoring student progress, seeing counselees 4 times a year, handling SEL needs, employing Naviance, and encouraging students to attend summer step up. 5, participate in 504 and INRS meetings. 6, make data-driven decisions. 7, improve student culture and climate. 8, build relationship with all stakeholders. 9, National Honor Society. After review by the administration, it was determined that no student would be rejected from NHS due solely to the admissions essay. 10, returning graded assignments. Dr. Charney shared part of the highlighter, a staff newsletter given to the teachers at the start of the school year in September. Information provided to teachers includes written directives on when to respond to communications and return graded work. The information from the highlighter is as followed, and I'm just going to read from it. It was cut and pasted. Communications, respond to emails within 1 school day of its receipt, even if it is only to acknowledge the receipt of the email. Emails that are sent over the weekend should be replied to by the end of the school day on Monday. Similarly, staff have an obligation to reach out to parents if a student is underperforming. We do make available the parent portal of PowerSchool, but this is only a tool to support the home and school connection. Teacher communication is best. Timely feedback on assignments. Staff members have an obligation to provide timely feedback. This includes regularly updating their Power Teacher gradebook. The following are expected turnaround times, which includes posting on the gradebook when applicable. Minor assignments, which are homework, classwork, and pop quizzes, should be returned to students in 2 to 3 days. Minor assignments, which are writing assignments, should be returned to students in 3 to 5 days. Major assignments, which are tests and quizzes, should be returned to students in 5 to 7 days. All of these are school days, not actual school days. Major assignments, essay, lab, reports, and research projects should be returned to students in 8 to 10 days. If the teacher does not return the work in this amount of time, it is recommended that the parent or student contact the school's principal. 11, testing data, start strong versus district measures. Dr. Charney compared the state mandated start strong results to the most recent district testing using Linkit and MAP assessments. Areas that were of concern in the start strong, such as the 9th grade algebra 1, showed markedly different results when compared to the Linkit common assessment taken in late October, early November. For example, the high school algebra 1 start strong result had 64% of the students needing strong support, while the benchmark testing showed 8% needing strong support, and the common assessment had 14% needing strong support. All the measures do indicate a need for student support, since the Linkit benchmark and common assessment show 38% and 6% respectively meeting or exceeding expectations. The 4th and 5th grade MAP and iReady MAP results are substantially better. These include Voyager students than the Start Strong results. It should be noted that the Start Strong assessment measures a deficit model, while iReady, Linkit, and MAP measure achievement, meeting and exceeding expectations, and approaching and not meeting expectations. Moreover, the Start Strong assessment only has 12 to 18 questions for certain subjects. This low item sample makes the results questionable because if a student got 4 or 5 wrong, for example, on a 12 item test, that would fall into a needed support area. The iReady pilot math program in 4th, 5th, and 6th grades, which is a differentiated and adaptive approach to work on all levels, showed promising results. A detailed presentation of the student growth will be made in February after the mid-year assessments are performed. A link to all the detailed data is provided on the notes. The next meeting will be decided in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Any questions? Elizabeth, thank you for your dedication during the past year. You really jumped in to the CNI role tremendously, and I knew I could always count on you to make sure that we as a board were always informed on the issues that we heard from the public, on issues the administration was asking us to vote on. So you made it much easier for us to fulfill our job duties this year, especially your notes. But always
thank you.
Being open to take our calls and let us ask you questions too.
Thanks.
Eileen. Budget and Finance met December 8th at 5 o'clock. We talked about the referendum very quickly. What's left right now is the Indian Hill HVAC controls. And this project is anticipated to be completed over winter break. And that will be the end of our referendum updates, which is so. We talked about the multipurpose turf field project. The committee reviewed the plans for a multipurpose turf field at SATS that will be funded utilizing capital reserve. Upon review, the committee recommended moving forward with this project and including the applicable transfer from capital reserve on the 12/15 tonight's agenda for approval. We talked about the 2020-2021 annual comprehensive financial report. Field work for the audit has been completed, and administration is working with the auditors to ensure compliance with the February 2022 filing deadline for the annual comprehensive financial report. The last thing we discussed was the 22-23 budget. Administration has been preparing the 22-23 budget since November of 2021 and will continue through February of 2022. Status updates will be provided at the next committee meeting, and our next meeting is to be determined. Any questions? All right, I'm going to move forward with buildings, grounds, and safety. They met December 9th at 5 o'clock, also to discuss the referendum and the turf field project. They also discussed policy 1648.11, that is number 5 on our agenda this evening, and the same, their meeting is to be determined.
Thank you. Again, also, Eileen, thank you for everything you did with budget and finance. We had a tremendous year. And again, working with PU2 did a great job in updating us on the referendum throughout the year. So you get the honor, though. I think Pete was very much looking forward to saying that tonight. So our thoughts and prayers are with Pete as he deals with a family situation. But I know Eileen, Pete, all of us who were on the board from the referendum from the start, Mike and Joe, It was tremendous to get that news this month that we are done. So thank you to the community for supporting us. Thank you to Mike Petrizzo and your staff for everything that you did to keep us on track. Thank Ken, thank Steve, thank the whole team for everything that they did. Because I don't think there is no other school district that could have accomplished all this. And we did it by working together as a team, both this board and prior boards. It was never a glitch. So, and if there was a glitch, we addressed it and we moved forward quite quickly. So thank you again. Thank you, Eileen.
Vicki, I also want to thank Peter and the Buildings and Grounds Committee and Eileen, the Budget and Finance Committee and the board for the tremendous leadership and going so far forward with the turf program and the impact it's going to have for Homebell's children. It's exemplary. And it's ultimate class act for the kids. I was just with a tremendous group of kids, the cheerleaders and the football players and so many other folks, and there's field hockey and lacrosse and so many incredibly exciting things. Brian, I know where your heart is with Joe and everybody here, but it's incredible work from the subcommittees delivering for Holmdel's kids. And it's incredible news.
Yeah, it is. It's great news. And we always made sure that we addressed all the academic infrastructure needs first before we would ever do anything else. But again, it was also the support of our community and the direction that they provided to us. We just always wanted to make sure we prepared and delivered everything. And we did, plus the work that we had to do for the pandemic. So it's been tremendous. Any other? We have no other committee reports. Like, you don't have anything. So I will give, I usually don't do this, but I'll give a presidential report. I can,
a presidential report,
I guess. I don't know. I can report that we've successfully completed the superintendent search, for the last two weekends. And prior to even that, a few other dates during the week, but the last two weekends, the members of this board have interviewed numerous candidates following a nationwide search for a new superintendent. We are pleased to have squared in on, I guess we've all decided on a candidate. This board, however, cannot appoint, legally speaking, a superintendent at this point. It has to wait for the next board. The two new incoming board members have met with that candidate. I'm hopeful that, and I think they had a very good meeting and a positive meeting. So please stay tuned. At our January reorganization meeting, we will be appointing the next superintendent of Holmdel School District. So it's exciting news. Like I said to a few people earlier, when the new board members got to meet with the superintendent, you could see how excited they were to get started. And I think that's how we all feel too. Like, it's a renewed sense of excitement as we prepare for 2022, which includes bringing on a new superintendent for our school district. We can't announce the specifics yet, but that will be to be continued. But I just wanted to let everyone know that it's completed. I wanted to thank my board members for putting aside a tremendous amount of hours over the last two weekends to meet with candidates, interview them. The level of professionalism demonstrated by this board is extraordinary. I think a lot of those candidates, from when I talked to the search consultant, walked away very impressed by the level of attention that this board gave to that process. So we're excited that we're going to have a new superintendent in 2022. So thank you all for your work. Okay, at this point in the meeting, we take questions or comments from the public on action items only. Seeing none. All right, we're seeing none. Michael, I need a motion for items 1 through 18, 20 to 24, and 27 to 36.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Have a roll call, please. Yes, except I must abstain on items number 1 and 2 as I wasn't present at those meetings.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mrs. Brunamonte.
Yes.
Mr. Wall. Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Staying on 1 through 4, and yes for the rest. And thank you to the curriculum committee for number 11.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes.
To Mr. Wall.
Yeah, on items 1 through 18, 20 to 24, 27 to 36.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Item number 19. Mr. Sokol, would you please read that?
Item 19, acceptance of retirement special education teacher, Holmdel High School. Whereas Ms. Susan Kaczynski has served the Holmdel Township Public Schools with distinction since September 12, 2003, and whereas Ms. Kaczynski has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Kaczynski has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Kuzminski has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Homebell Township School District effective February 1st, 2022, now therefore be it resolved that the Homebell Township Board of Education accepts Ms. Kuzminski's retirement with deep gratitude for her dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extends to her its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you so much. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second. Discussion? Seeing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn?
Yes, congratulations and best wishes on your retirement.
Mr. Sokol?
Yes.
Mrs. Brimonti?
Yes, thank you for your service.
Mr. Wall?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Foster?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes, congrats.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes, best wishes on your retirement.
Mrs. Zhang?
Yeah, thank you for your contributions. Enjoy your retirement.
Motion passes, congratulations.
Just for the record, I just want to note that item 25 and 26 were deleted from this agenda. So they weren't moved, they weren't acted upon.
We deleted, right?
Okay. Item number 37, resolved that the Homebell Board of Education accepts the resignation of Interim Superintendent Dr. Leroy Seitz for personal reasons, effective immediately, and extends its appreciation to Dr. Seitz for his services. Could I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? CNN, can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn?
Yes, best wishes to you, Dr. Seitz, and thank you for everything you did for our district.
Mr. Sokol?
I extend also Vicki's sentiments. Thank you very much for the efforts and work that you did for the district during your interim status. Yes.
Mrs. Brimonti?
Yes, and thank you for everything.
Mr. Wall?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes, and me, thank you very much. I think you were the right guy that we needed at the time to help push things forward. Gonna miss you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes, thanks for all the leadership during COVID.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes, and I'd like to thank Dr. Seitz for being so goal-directed and making sure that our schools were open last year during the height of the pandemic.
Mrs. Zhang?
Thank you for your services.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Resolved that the Homebell Board of Education designates School Business Administrator Board Secretary Michael Petruzzo as the administrator in charge, effective immediately and continuing through January 5th, 2022. May I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn?
Yes.
Mr. Sokol?
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Yes.
Mrs. Brimonti?
Absolutely, yes.
Mr. Wall?
My condolences and, yeah. No, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it, yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes, definitely. And Mike, thank you for everything. For those that don't know, your smiling face always there. The first day of school as the buses roll up, that's always been something that I look forward to. And your help on this board, immeasurable. You answered every question. You're forthright. You're transparent. Truly an asset, and you know, you get as excited about these projects in town as we do, and you don't live here, so it's nice to see that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck with that whole thing, though.
Thank you. Mr. Hammer?
Yep. Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes.
Mrs. A?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. At this point in the meeting, we take from the board any old business. Seeing none, any new business?
I'd like to say something. I just wanted to say that at the beginning of the month, I went to parent-teacher conferences both at SATS and the high school, and they were just run very smoothly. And just to have that parent-teacher connection where you're looking the teacher in the eye and you see the little glint of joy that they love teaching and they understand your kid. Like, I want to even just call out Mr. Keller or Mrs. McBride in the high school, or Mrs. Asaro, Mrs. Imbro, and it at SATS. It was really just made me feel excited that the kids really are back in the classroom. And I want to thank
Mr. Kakut and Mr. Laugren for really making a seamless program for us. I appreciate it. Yes, thank you.
I concur with those comments. It felt weird. We haven't done back to school for such a long time in that way. So thank you both for and to your teachers and staff for running such a great back to school night. Day. I was here during the day, but I'm assuming people here at night or parent teacher conference. That's great. Go ahead, Mike.
Sandler. Yeah, just a quick comment. Vicki and I both had an opportunity on separate nights to check out the high school play a few weeks ago. And, you know, as usual, an excellent performance. But what's nice about it is, once again, one of those little things that help us move closer to normalcy, to be able to go out and actually see a play in person, to see all of the different events that are coming up this holiday season. It's been a difficult 2 years for all of us. And we've been hanging on. And it's I see a light at the end of the tunnel. And it's little things like school plays and bell concerts and people getting out. I really think this is, we're going to have a really happy holiday season. And I wish everyone the best.
Yes, I agree with that too. I did get to go to the chorus performance last week, which was great. And tomorrow night, there's the band here. So they're coming back, the band. And I think it was really, it really got you in the holiday spirit to come and hear the kids sing and perform. So I agree with you, Mike. We're getting closer to normal. Anything else? Okay. At this point in the meeting, we take questions or comments from the public.
Jay, you know, 18 Ladwood Drive. Mr. Foster, thank you for your service. Your style is probably the polar opposite of mine, but I respect it. And you obviously were very effective on the board. Ms. Flynn, we've disagreed on a few things politically and everything, but your tenacity and hard work was very visible to all. So thank you and congratulations. I had to make a little list here. A lot of the teachers and paraprofessionals that were acknowledged tonight. Ms. Gutowski worked with my daughter Jordan when she was in preschool. Jordan's now 21, still in the system. Ms. Givens, Mr. Cole, Ms. Thompson, these are amazing people and we're very lucky to have them in our school. On a different subject, regarding the shelter in place situation we had a few weeks ago, I'm wondering if there's any update. Can you share with us what we've learned, what's going on, what the outcome is?
I don't think I have all those details here, so we can get something to you. But a lot of the times when we have these security issues, it's hard for us to ever really talk about that in all public, so publicly, because we can't reveal our security measures.
Yeah.
So I really can't respond to you here in this setting in that way. I would strongly encourage you. I will get someone to reach out to you though, and okay, and give you some, you know, feedback and answer your questions as best they can in that type of setting. But we always, I know from my experience, you know, when we've dealt with all those drills going on. And as Tom mentioned, having the class threes right here is a tremendous help. With that, they always go back and look after every single event like that and see how we can improve. So they're always working on
how to do it. I really don't have any critical feedback on how it was handled. I just think in situations like this, there was very, from my perspective, there was decent communication. But afterwards, why can't we just say this was the situation? I understand you don't want to disclose security thing, but this was the situation. This is how it's been handled. Mm-hmm. You're not going to name names, but you're going to update the community on what happened. And tied to this, I'm wondering, have we calculated the cost of that incident to the school district?
I don't think we have.
Mr. Petrizzo, have you? Mr. Wall, you're a man of numbers. No. Has anyone calculated?
You have to direct it to the chair. But,
I'm sorry. I would guess it's tens of thousands of dollars of displaced money.
I don't know if that would be true, but
when you add the teachers, all that, the whole staff disrupted, if you bring in the police, I would probably say it's tens of thousands of dollars.
And just so you know, that's why we have the class three agreement in place. The school district in our budget we as a board for the last few years have made the decision that says security is so important to our student safety, our staff safety. You know, when you're a parent at home, it's important to your peace of mind that we have the adequate amount of safety here. And that's why we have class three officers in all our schools, so that those issues are already handled. So they're like almost built, that's built into the budget already. Okay. And we as a school district pay for those services.
I'm just talking about the dislocation of education, all the teachers' time, this, the lost education to the students.
I don't think we really calculate that.
I'm wondering if it's something that might be calculated. And the reason I bring that up is I think this is a suggestion to maybe your predecessor or to the board going forward.
Joe. Tell Joe.
Joe, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I congratulations. By the way, very nice holiday card and congratulations to your dad. I'll end here. I think something that should be seriously considered as a term of your student attending the Homedel Education School District, your child, your student, you have to sign an agreement that if they have the audacity, delusion, entitlement, or sickness enough to pull off stunts that were pulled off like that, you will be given a bill and you will have to pay it going forward. I suggest you seriously consider that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other questions or comments?
Hello again. All right. Hello again. My name is Janelle. I'm Janelle Michella. Do we do the address thing still? To Apple Grove Drive. I've been a resident of Homedel for over 30 years. And I do want to start off with the compliment of, yes, I have to say, you guys did a tremendous job of getting our schools open at the beginning when the pandemic shut everything down. And I have to give you the credit that you deserve for that, because it would be negligent on me to not acknowledge that. But I've come here today again to advocate for my children, the children of this town and the district, and help bring common sense back to the schools. After speaking here today, I'm sure there will be a lot of opinions of me, and I'm very okay with that. I have opinions of everybody as well. I'm first going to discuss the health education and sexual education issue. If you currently have children with you, or they are within listening distance, I would like to give you this opportunity to remove them, silence me, find a private spot where my content will not be shared with children that are not age appropriate or whose parents do not want them to hear the explicit language our state believes children between the grade levels of 3 and 8 should learn. The new amended curriculum was adopted by our state on June 3rd, 2020. The curriculum for our district available online is from the 2019-2020 school year. It is outdated and seems to be a lazy copy and paste to try to satisfy curious parents. I've come to this meeting before speaking and requesting information regarding this subject. I want answers. I want to know exactly how and when I should be giving notice to the school that my children are to refrain from being groomed, educated, about masturbation, anal sex, and oral sex. Are you uncomfortable? I'm uncomfortable. My heart is pounding. Imagine how our children feel. I will say that one more time. I want to know exactly what is being taught, how it is being presented, the exact lesson plans, who this instructor is, and what certifications do they have to discuss these topics with our children, minors. So I know when I should be sending notice to the schools that I do not want my child in a classroom being influenced and exposed to discussions of masturbation to be taught between 3rd and 5th grade. Anal or oral sex, which are to be taught between 6th and 8th grade. These conversations normalize certain sexual actions and validates the age group experimenting with them by having an adult, specifically a teacher in an instructional setting, address these topics. Beyond that, these conversations step outside my parenting, is beyond the privileged conversation of the four walls which embody my home, and is absolutely unnecessary. Again, are you uncomfortable? I have cotton mouth. My heart is pounding. Similarly,
I'd like to know the extent our children are being explained the different gender identities the world has come to adopt. To be clear, I fully support the LGBT community, have plenty of friends and family who are members of that community. I support every adult making decisions for themselves that they feel are in line with their moral and individual character. As long as that character does no harm to themselves or others, they're good, kind people with good hearts. I don't care if a person identifies as a crayon. Regardless, I want to know to what extent our children will be taught about transgender, no gender, cisgender, gender X, and whatever other new genders have been declared. Are we gently brushing these topics and saying, hey, people are different and there are a bunch of different gender identities out there, so let's give each other room to grow and be respectful of our differences, especially the ones we don't understand, whether or not we agree? That's fair. Or are we going to have our children be expected to identify and know the differences and know when to say him, her, she, they, them? I have an idea. Teach my children the differences between the words there, T-H-E-R-E, there, T-H-E-I-R, and there, T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E. Teach them the differences between which, W-H-I-C-H, and which, W-I-T-C-H. Teach them to nail those down first. And don't tell me that is an educational standard, because I assure you, I encounter adults every day that still cannot differentiate. When it comes to these topics, it is not so much the preservation of innocence or discomfort I have from a moral or religious standpoint in discussing them. It is, however, concerning that there are families who rely on the schools to do their parenting for them. I don't know who needs to hear this, but as a parent, it is your job to discuss the uncomfortable and teach your child to be a civil and decent human being. The questions I would like answered are these. One, when will the new curriculum be introduced to our children? Bueller, I'm sorry. When will the new curriculum be introduced to our children?
We don't adopt curriculum until the summer, right, Paul?
Yeah. Okay, so it was amended June 3rd, 2020, and we shouldn't anticipate it until the following school year? Am I understanding that correctly?
That's my understanding.
About? Okay. Something. What role a parent might be to introduce the parents to this curriculum? When will the curriculum be posted online for parent awareness and access? Who are the teachers that will be hosting these classes, and what is their experience in presenting this information to minors? I think those are four fair questions. The plexiglass. I'll keep bringing it up until it's gone. I want to know in which document I can find your right to erect an object in front of my child, which hinders his education and has zero sanitary benefit. In fact, zero benefit at all. What new executive order was put out regarding them? None. Were they included in the original executive order? No. Are you legally allowed to keep this piece of crap plexiglass up in front of my child? No. I do not give you permission to put the plexiglass in front of my child. You don't have the authority to keep it in front of my child, but I am specifically advocating on behalf of my child. And in clearly stating you are not allowed to hinder his educational experience any further with the plexiglass divider. I expect my child's teachers to be notified that his plexiglass is to be removed in every classroom where he is present in said classroom. Regarding the masks, I'm done. Our children cannot learn properly in these conditions. Every morning, my children cry and complain about having to wear their mask. They cry to me, Mommy, I can't breathe. Mommy, it hurts my face. Mommy, it hurts my ears. Mommy, it hurts my nose. My son gets nosebleeds. He has ADHD, struggles to focus and concentrate. He's supposed to wear glasses, but between the mask, his ADHD, and the plexiglass, he's too uncomfortable. I speak with his teachers, who I love, honestly. I think they're fabulous. They're very sweet and wonderful, and they say how he wants to do right, how he's polite, how he has manners, and he seems to be fine throughout the day with this mask. For that, I'm grateful. Thank God he holds it together for his teachers and friends. Because I don't know what they would have if they would have the heart to keep the mask on these children and they acted like they did at home for you in the school buildings. if they cried, if they wept, if they pleaded with the teachers and administrators to be able to learn normally, to live and function normally, to be a kid the way they do for many parents at home, I don't think you guys would be able to handle it. I don't think the teachers would. Why are the least vulnerable taking the brunt of this virus? Why aren't you standing up for them? Why aren't you writing to the governor? Why? This is nonsensical, and I have told both of my children that they can remove their mask whenever they want, that they do not have any obligation to listen to anyone besides me. I am the alpha and omega for them. They have been instructed to tell you it is against their constitutional rights and that they can instruct any adult telling them otherwise to call me. Fortunately for you, I've raised my children to be respectful, and I do not believe they have the courage to stand up to you. So I am their voice. Our children are being used as pawns and are suffering for the betterment of political conquests. Unmask our children. And COVID overall, for anyone who did not anticipate new variants of COVID to come to be, for anyone who thinks being vaccinated will stop new variants of COVID from developing, I've got a bridge to sell you. It is the fully vaccinated people who are traveling from country to country. It is their vaccination that is causing the variant mutations. I direct everyone to please look at the studies coming out of India and multiple countries. Information presented by Dr. Steve Corner, DOFACOI, I don't even know what that stands for, and several other doctors who spoke at the New Jersey Senate Independent Hearing on Vaccines and Natural Immunity today, December 15th, 2021. Thank you.
Hi, good evening, board. My name is Daniel Ahaj, 34 Roberts Road. I have four boys in the school district, each at the separate schools. So I have four different pickups and four drop-offs in the morning. My concern is, in the beginning of the year, the camera in my house was catching cars zipping past the stop sign on the school buses. I communicated with Paula Riccio at Homedale Transportation. She notified the police department, and they set up a couple of sting operations, but they haven't caught anybody. It happens not every day, but sporadically. Unfortunately, my camera can't catch the license plates of these cars. I've been hoping to see if they could find a different bus route that stops in front of my house instead of across the street. Unfortunately, they haven't, and the topography of this town, with a lot of the streets not having sidewalks, and you have roads with 50 mile an hour speed limits right in front of your house, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. And one article I saw was that the Mount Olive School District got a security grant from the state to equip all of their school buses with video cameras. I was surprised our buses don't have it. The technology is relatively cheap, and the amount of tickets they would write in the first week would, I'm sure, more than pay for it. So I was hoping it was something that could be looked into before something bad happens. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Congratulations, and thank you for your service, Brian. Same to you. I've served on boards of education. I know the commitment that it takes. Happy holidays to the full board. The best wishes for a great
year. You know, Bill, we're always so thankful you're always here with us. Oh, it's like you're always serving on a board.
Thank you. I'm here tonight just to reflect on the events of the last year. And one event that was a highlight of the year happened in the fall when we honored the first and second graduating classes of Homedale High School. And at that weekend celebration, we had the opportunity also to recognize Dr. White and for his pivotal influence in the starting of our schools, first as the principal of the Homedale Intermediate School and later as the first principal of Homedale High School. It was particularly affecting for me because Dr. White hired me, 22 years old, right out of school, and I've been here ever since. Another person who was instrumental in the formation of the Holmdel schools in its early history was Mr. Jay Demarest. Jay Demarest was our first football coach, and he was our first athletic director. And every step of the way that Dr. White was here shaping the origins of Holmdel High School, Mr. Demarest was with him. Mr. Demarest, in addition to being a respected athletic director throughout the Shore Conference, was also a track and field official. And when Bob Rogge passed, Jay Demarest was instrumental in bringing the Bob Rogge Invitational to Holmdel, which now is known as the New Jersey International and makes its way throughout different sites throughout the state. In 2005, when we were athletic directors, Mr. Demarest was kind enough and graceful enough to come out of retirement and spent 4 or 5 months early in Mrs. Duncan's term serving as interim athletic director. Everyone who knows Jay or knows Jay knows what a gentleman he is, continues to be. I'm here tonight to speak on his behalf because Jay is 90 years old now and not in good health. And I was reflecting back on that and about the influence that he had on me as a track and field and cross country coach. And I thought, just as Dr. White had such a great influence on so many people in this community, so too did Mr. Demarest. And I'm hoping that in the new year, when the new board convenes, we might be able to sit down and think of a way that we might be able to honor Mr. Demarest's contribution to the Holmdel schools. You know, one of the great things about this school is that it's not too old to remember its origins right now and to develop its traditions. And it would be right for us to continue to recognize those individuals who had a pivotal piece in it. And so I just wanted to put that in your ears. Wish you a happy new year and thank you for your time. Great.
Thank you so much, Bill. Happy New Year. I think that can be done. Like Bill, we should really think about it because the 50th anniversary and the naming, that was a tremendous weekend. So I hope we could do something for Mr. Demarest too. But I won't be here, but I support you, Bill.
Okay. Good evening. Kai Collins, 127 South Telegraph Hill Road. Congratulations, Vicki and Brian. It is, like Terrence said, onward and upward. We will miss you. For as long as I've been coming to these meetings, which hasn't been that long, you're a role model. So I appreciate that. I really look up to you and respect all that you've done. And thank you for all of your commitment to our schools. This is not an easy job. So with that, good evening, Dr. Seitz and board members. I'd like to take this opportunity to clarify something for all of us. Neither a governor nor a school holds any lawful power to send a child home and deny their access to an education. Governor Murphy has imposed an unlawful mask mandate, and he has threatened schools who choose not to comply with his unlawful mandate. There is no lawful recourse for noncompliance with an unlawful order. Tomorrow, parents hold all the legal right to send their kids to school without a mask. And tomorrow, kids hold all the legal right to attend school unmasked. We had it all backwards this whole time. We were looking to you every month to solve this for us. But you can't. I think you need us to pave the way. We must never teach our kids to live in fear or to fear each other or to submit under the unlawful coercion by an authority. We should never have complied. That's our mistake. I'll close with a quote from Bruce Afrin, Princeton attorney, because we're going to work on this. If 500 kids show up to school without a mask, there's not a damn thing anyone can do about it. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay.
Just a very brief one when you're done with the.
Okay.
I texted you.
Okay, good.
Hi, Anna Conti, 857 Palmer Avenue. So this whole mask theater that's going on here, I mean, day in and day out, it's wild. But I just have a question. So you all are wearing a mask and you're not. Mm-hmm. Is it because you are all afraid of COVID, or is it mandatory and you're exempt from wearing one?
No, I'm running a meeting and I don't have to wear a mask when I'm running my meeting. So no.
Okay, but you're not 6 feet apart from these people.
No, I'm not.
And you're not wearing, there's no plexiglass in front of you.
I appreciate your comment, but no, that's how I run the meeting.
Okay, so see how this is how you run the meeting, but then my child or any children that come to the school should be able to come and learn without a plexiglass that never gets washed. Because these plexiglasses, where my daughter sits the last one in a row, she can't really see much. So I just actually took her to an eye doctor because she thinks that she really can't see, but it's really mostly because of the plexiglass. So how come you get to run your show without wearing a mask, but my daughter or my son or anybody else, actually my daughter's mask exempt, but it doesn't matter, okay? But why do these kids have to wear masks, okay? And wear plexiglass? How come they get to have a choice sitting here, but they don't? And I'm gonna, so if you are able to do this, what have you been doing for our kids not to wear a mask? Not you, just all of you guys sitting here.
Well, you said you. I'll tell you what I did on behalf of the board.
Yeah.
This board, when the mask mandate did go in place, this board wrote to, and I did it on behalf of the board, to ask the governor to come here and explain to us the consistency, because we thought there was inherent inconsistencies associated with his mandates. So we asked, we called, I called, we have a New Jersey School Board Association, which I would, maybe legislatively we could do something about that, that we paid dues to, we had them call. We asked multiple times for multiple meetings to come here and tell us how our schools are so unsafe that we have to wear a mask. Because we here did, we invested a tremendous amount of money and resources into this school with your tax dollars to make this as safe as possible for our students and staff. We do not, I don't know if you heard the remarks before, closing the school was really never an option for this board. Mm-hmm. And that's why we were one of the first to open. We were open full time. We had our special ed students here starting in September of 2020 here 5 days a week. We were on the forefront in all those things. So when you ask me what I've done, I think we've done a lot more than a lot of other boards, and we continue to look at this stuff regularly. You have board members who are all over this issue. It's always being reviewed, and we will continue to review it. We are obviously, the last 2 weekends, as I also said, we're focused on maybe finding a superintendent for our school. So did we continue to talk about mask mandates or plexiglass or whatnot as a board on a regular basis that we had to be prior to that? Probably not. But the priority for this board was to find, on our last few weekends, we had people running around like crazy, was to find a superintendent. We did that. Now that we can, you know, we finished a referendum, we have a superintendent in place, we're going to reconvene after this new year, and we'll continue to look at these issues. But this board, this district, has been on the forefront on these issues. I have tried to get the governor to try to take a look at this, to come here. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't want to come and visit one of the best schools in the state, and especially as it relates to mitigation. Have I been out front on that issue? Yes, I've argued that issue all throughout LD 13 for the past few months. Everyone else in other parts of this district know about what we're doing in Homedale and are trying to achieve what we're doing here in Homedale. So what have we done? We have led, we will continue to lead. The plexiglass thing, that's not, we don't adopt a policy, oh, we put up plexiglass or we don't. That's an administrator decision. So there's laws that relate to that. We don't have control over that. That's up to the administrators, and we've questioned them, and they're continuing to revisit that and look at it, and they'll make a decision at some point to remove them or keep them in. So that's under consideration.
Okay.
Just not tonight. And I don't have an answer to you because I don't, while I'm the school board president, we don't run these schools.
Well, no, I know what you're saying, like not tonight, but it's almost a year of this going on. And you guys said you spent all this money on the lights that are supposed to protect our kids and all this stuff, right? And we're still making them wear masks. Do you know that kids, when I pick up my daughter from school, they actually walk out and don't even rip these masks off? They're being totally conditioned. And if you've done all this, then we should be a little bit more lenient. Maybe these teachers should be more lenient. Maybe we should have more an option. Just my point.
Yeah,
just like you have an option right now that you're not wearing a mask, and these people are, while they're talking, they're fine, and the mask is off. I mean, why are you guys wearing these masks right now? Can I ask you?
No, you can't. You could direct your comments to the chair. That's how we run these proceedings. So
The question.
Well, okay, tell me, why are they worried?
I can listen to your comments. This isn't a question and answer. I'm happy to tell you. I just wanted to make it clear to you because I don't want this board to be wrongly tagged as a board that doesn't sit around and do nothing.
No, I mean, that's not what I'm saying.
That's what you.
No. That's okay. Not what I'm saying.
I wanted to make clear.
By no means, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. I'm just saying that.
But
nothing
I want to also make clear, you also said. You should do something with the governor. We have done something with the governor. And then at earlier board meetings, I would tell you, you want to do something about the mask mandate? Go to Trenton, go talk to Governor Murphy, because that's where you're going to get effectuate change with him. It's his decision. Okay? We can lose state aid if we don't. He threatened to sue the Middletown School Board if they dared to do anything with masks.
What kind of state aid?
We get state aid from the state, and we could lose it if we don't follow the governor's orders, if we don't follow Department of Ed. So your question, if I can't, you know, this isn't question and answer, but the question's a good one. What can I do? You have to go to the governor because he's the one who's taken the decision out of our hands as to what to do with masks. As it relates to plexiglass, that's under consideration and a decision will be made by the appropriate people. This board doesn't make decisions about plexiglass. The administrative staff does. We hear your comments, we'll bring it back to them. We have continued to bring these type of comments back to them and changes will be made as necessary.
As necessary. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, I realize that it's not a question and answer, but I do have a question if you can answer it. If you can't, then I leave it for openness. If you guys have to follow the mandate, which I get that there's a hands tied issue, right? I completely understand that. And I understand I was unaware of all the things personally that you guys had done. So I do appreciate that. And I wanted to come up and express that. I really do, because who else, if not me, if not you, who? It's us, right? So I do appreciate that. But what happens if you say there's a mandate, governor says there's a mandate. You say, fine, we're following the mandate, but the kids just don't listen. Why does there have to be a consequence? Like, why can't we just, oh, well, we told them they had to do it. They're just not listening. Like, why can't we just throw our hands up in the air and just, oh, well, we tried. We have the mandate and stuff, you know, the rules in place. They're not following it. What can I do about it? Like, you know what I mean? I'm just wondering, how do we get around this without anyone really getting messed with in the nicest way possible? If there's any way to answer that, great. If not, if I have to take a private meeting, I'm happy to do that. If there's anything I can do to get an answer in regards to this, or if there's something us parents can do that would help beyond going down to Trenton, because I can't technically always go down.
Sadly.
Don't worry, I'm writing plenty of letters.
I know, I'm just saying, that's the answer. And I know there's lots of legislation being posted by legislators throughout the state to help let's move this issue along. So there's a lot of people advocating on this.
Okay.
And it's in my remarks later on, boards of ed have been put in a terrible position when it comes to these issues. Terrible, 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 because they have absolutely no control about a lot of this. And these comments that you're making, I said this back in July when we had this discussion, or August, they should be had in Trenton, not here.
Okay.
We're happy to have you.
No, thank you. Well, I'm sure it's been a pleasure with me. I get it.
No, it's unfortunately Trenton is not listening to these arguments, and that's a whole nother argument we're not going to talk about.
I'm bringing it to Trenton too. Okay. I promise. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Christy O'Connor, 10 Spring Valley Drive. I just wanted to bring up something that happened in Middletown this week. I'm sure you guys are all aware of it, but Middletown is doing a fantastic job at chipping away at some of these ridiculous protocols and guidelines. So Middletown has revised their protocol for quarantining close contacts. Essentially, close contacts will be notified, their parents will be notified, and then the quarantine is optional. And they are to keep an eye on their child for symptoms, which is a common sense approach. And so I just ask that we look into this and we try to do this here. I think these quarantine protocols and guidelines are forcing people to hide information, not be transparent. I think we will see a lot more transparency with this virus if we make things optional and leave it up to the parents, you know, whether they decide to quarantine or not. People are afraid to say their child has a symptom. People are afraid to say my child tested positive because of the ripple effect. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of these parents that when we get up here and we're emotional, we want to see that our board members are a little emotional too. So it's frustrating. I respect each and every one of you. I think you guys share our sentiments, but you really don't show it. And I mean no disrespect when I say that, but I think it would comfort the parents a little bit if we got a feel for where you're at on these issues. So anyway, if we could look into what Middletown did, I think that would be fantastic. I was looking at the report today of the quarantine, like a number of students that are in quarantine. At Village School, there are 60 kids in quarantine. According to the chart, 10 of them have tested positive. For symptoms, symptomatic, it didn't show anything. So I'm assuming that's a zero. So we have 50 healthy Village School kids in quarantine. So again, I think we really need to look into what Middletown is doing.
We already have, so. And it requires, I know the lawyer who represents Middletown, and it requires there's a lot of due diligence you have to do to get to that point, which we are going to be gathering the data and putting it together and trying to take the same steps that they did in order to consider something like that. So it's underway.
Okay. And then just with the plexiglass, you know, I know some people have already said this, but some of the things that are not in the mandate, why do we still have them in place? Travel quarantines, not part of the mandate. Plexiglass, not part of the mandate. You know, Homedale has done so much more than any other district, but we still have these things in place when other school districts don't. I don't understand it. It's frustrating. It's not fair. We need to get back to normal. We need to chip away.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Good evening. Robert Way, 7 Cathy Court. I want to congratulate you, Vicki, and you, Brian, for retiring from the board, but not for the reasons that everybody else is congratulating you for. I'm congratulating you because you two are about to escape the crap storm that's coming next, which is the vaccine mandates. I stood before you in August with a "see, I told you so." Because I told you that another variant was coming and they're going to mask the kids again. And now we have Omicron. I don't know what our governor is waiting for, but he's waiting in the wings for the vaccine mandate. The Hoboken School District is the Petri dish. That's the test tube that they're learning in to implement the mandate. What's the pushback look like? What's the possible lawsuits we're going to endure? That's the practice ground for what's going to happen statewide. I'm going to disagree with both your sentiments that things are getting better. They're not. If you consider the current education of our children, which is nothing more than teaching them compliance. Compliance to a government that has entered our households unlawfully. I have to stand around and listen to our hands are tied. There's nothing we can do. You have to go to Trenton. I understand that. On an individual basis, everyone on this board or anyone in authority within this township puts their personal livelihood at risk if they go against it. Yet at the same time, I have to stand here and smell the stench of theater that takes place as board members walk in without masks on, talk to people and mingle with people, and then sit down behind the desk and put the mask on. And watch people take their mask off to talk when all along the CDC specified that masks are source control. My mask protects you, your mask protects me. Aren't you supposed to keep it on when you're talking? No, but it's good theater. Keeps the game going. It keeps the nonsense going. It keeps the fear going. I don't have any specific comment. Again, I congratulate the two of you because you're not going to have to deal with what's about to come with. You will to a certain extent because you're going to be in the legislature. So,
but you know, but there's a lot of bills down there that everyone's trying to do to help.
On this board, the crap storm's coming. None of us in this room can look to any of them to solve this. That's not discrediting the efforts they've put in to open the schools and do as much as they can. The only way out of this is mass non-compliance. That is not to say that if you're a parent and you want to choose the mitigation protocols that you see fit for your child, no one who wants to take the mask off their child should criticize anyone else for wanting to mitigate that method. But for the rest of us that research the data, that see what's going on, understand this is not about public health. It's about command and control. The only way is to not comply. And I say that to parents, knowing that the tool of non-compliance is your child. And that is extremely difficult. To this day, I have that conversation with my children and struggle to get them to understand their republic is dying and they're complying with it. And there's a lot of these people in town that are okay with it. So with that said, I'll just simply close with this. Let's go, Brandon.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the public? Seeing none, I close that section of the meeting. Before I ask for a motion to adjourn, Terrence, what did you want to thank people?
Yes, I just wanted to briefly thank all the folks who voted for me during this past election. Very much appreciated, lifelong resident. So it's an honor to serve, not only graduating from Holmdel Schools, but to serve. I look forward to continuing to work for you and work for on behalf of your children and your families, and to thank everyone for coming out tonight. Everyone's very busy. And I also want to thank everyone who didn't vote for me, because you did something very, very important. You voted. The challenge now in most towns, you know, when folks put their name out there and they're running for office and their whatever their persuasions are politically, is that they're trying to get folks to hear the message and come out and cast a vote. And the vast majority in certain cases of the public don't vote at all. So if you voted for me, thank you. If you didn't vote for me, thank you. I look forward to getting to know you and understanding what your issues are and that type of thing and serving everyone. But I'll close with a quote from Plato that I saw on a Subaru, and it was hard to read, but I focused in on it. And it was a very interesting quote, because I often would say that apathy is the strongest candidate. And it's a bit of a version of that. But Plato said, the price of apathy towards public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. Now, that would be women too, of course, right? So the apathy is so important. It's important that folks vote. So whether you're for something or against something, or you're for a candidate or against a candidate, thank you for voting. So, and I just wanted to say thank you. Regardless, if you voted, it's so important. And I hope moving forward that more folks get involved in their public affairs. Folks may agree with the folks that are here, may disagree, but I'm very happy that you're here. You're participating in local government. And I thank you for that. And I wish everyone who's celebrating a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you, Board President.
Thank you. So at this moment, I get to get rid of my gavel and take the one I get to take home. But I just wanted to take a moment to thank first my board members for all of your support throughout the years. I am, and I tell everyone this, we're a team. Whenever someone would say, you know, you achieved something, I would never, and I never say that. It's a team effort. It's working together as a team. This board has demonstrated what you can accomplish when you work together as a team. You've accomplished pretty great things, even under the most challenging circumstances. So I thank you, my team, for the team that of this board and the boards that predate this board, for everything that you did to create and achieve Homedale 2020. You know, to make sure our kids got back to school. You lived by the mantra that, you know, that was in the back of my head from my mother, who, you know, when people ask me, why do you do this? I assume it was something that my mother probably instilled in me in the first 13 years of my life, is that we have an obligation to give back to our communities. This is how I've chosen to do so in the last few years. And it's an honor to do so. But, you know, one of the things that she taught me, that if I felt sick going to school, she said, you got to go to school. Sometimes we were allowed to stay home for a half day if we actually got sick, but then we were back at school. But the one thing that, when she passed away in 1985, in November, she passed away on the weekend. One of the things she told everyone is that me and my brother and sister, we needed to go back to school. She wanted us in school that Monday. And I was 13, my sister was 11, my brother was 9. And we did walk through our school. And I think we had funny, I could still remember the looks that we got when we walked into school that day. Like, I can't believe these kids are here. But that was a really important lesson that I used and that helped me get through this pandemic with this board. We were always living through Kathy Flynn's message, which was to get the kids back to school. It's so important to them. It was so important to my life to mourn and to grieve by having that normalcy in my life, that routine. And it allowed me, I believe, that one last message my mother or lesson she taught us is to just get up and get back to school. I value my education. That's why I give back in this way. My education was everything to me. It's gotten to me where I am here today. And I want these kids to have that same love of education as well. So everything I've done, everything that this board has done, is to make sure that these kids have the best education as possible. And we're never satisfied. That's another thing I learned from my mother. She was also pretty critical. But we're not satisfied and we keep moving forward. There's only one last thing I need to my board members. I wish the only thing I would ask that they please remain focused on, and I know they will, and even the new board members, I think they will as well. I've asked the same of them, is to really stay focused on special ed matters. The pandemic has been detrimental to all children, but especially our students of special ed. So I would just please beg my board members, the administrative staff, and everyone to stay focused on the special ed needs of our students so that they can, you know, get beyond this pandemic. I'd also like to take the time to thank our administrators, our principals, for your support throughout the years. We support you. You're all so approachable. Sometimes when people email us, I'm like, why don't you email your principal? They'll tell the answer. They have the answer. So again, thank you always for your support. The administrative staff, Mike Petrizzo and your team have been tremendous. Mike, you'll get less phone calls from me. So I hope that adds some more time back into your life. Administrator in charge now. I think that's my best gift I can give you on my way out.
All of my, you know, all the board members that came here tonight, and those that are not at home, I mean, one of our former board members couldn't come tonight because she was exposed to COVID and is now quarantined. Thank you also. The kinship that we develop as board members is a tight one. I will treasure it for my entire life. You know, I'll do anything for any of you if you ever ask, and if I can. And I've made like the best friends here, and as well, even in Nutley, when I was on the Board of Ed there, I still treasure those friendships as well. And we do a lot here staying together. Mike, you know, you've gotten better being on the board, right? So it cures cancer, I think. That's what I would say. So I would
only say, and it's not meant to be a rebuttal. I try to be optimistic, okay? And by being a little optimistic, maybe that's helping me get through this. So
yeah. No, it's been great. Well, you know, we're a team. We're like our own little family. And I thank you for everything. I mean, all of your advice, it's always spot on and good advice. And thank you for always looking out for me and making sure I drink water, which I drank all my water too. And Elizabeth, thank you for your notes and continue doing all the work. And please, I know you'll be on good on the special ed. Terrence, thank you for, you know, developing a really close board relationship that has allowed us to move this board forward. So I think, you know, our first impressions of one another change a lot. And for that, I'm grateful. And I always tell everyone that. It's a great story. Linda, I wish you well. You're going to do great things and being a powerhouse woman, you know, leader here on the board. So thank you so much. Brian, you're off. Joe, welcome back again. I said goodbye to you once, so I'm actually saying goodbye. Bye. Bye, Joe. Everyone, members of the public, good night. I hope you have a wonderful evening. Everyone at home, Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year. Please be safe. Please be well. And I'll see you all in 2022. With that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion adjourn. Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Good night.
Aye.
Congratulations. Yes.
Didn't run out.